The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Frank Isola, David Dennis Jr., Courtney Cronin, Mina Kimes. College football week one.
Back.
Yes, it's back, and it's time for a way too early prediction. Yell at one team for the playoffs, not named Ohio State, Alabama, or Georgia.
NC Utah.
Ooh, that's some fun. Let's go.
Courtney.
I heard some fun names in there. Let's put a pin in that. I'm going to get back to that in a second. I heard NC State. Yeah. Rankings mean absolutely nothing week one. However, it does look cool when it says number 5 versus number 2, number 11, number 3. Let's start with Notre Dame, Ohio State to begin your year and your coaching career against this Ohio State team. Marcus Freeman, wow. The spread is 17. It seems like nobody thinks this is going to be even close. Frank Isola, around the horn, you. What do we have with Ohio State Notre Dame week one?
Yeah, Marcus Freeman and the Fighting Irish are walking into the Lions. And remember something about Ohio State. This is a team that last year lost the biggest game, regular season game in college football. That's Ohio State, Michigan. Then a team from their state made it to the playoffs, but it wasn't the Buckeyes. It was Cincinnati. So for me, there's no other team in college football that's got more to prove this season, and they have the offense, the defense, the head coach to get the job done.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, first shout out to Coach Freeman. The spread was 17.5 at the beginning of the week. He said it was going to motivate them. Now it's just down to 17, yeah. So shout out to them. This is going to be a blowout. Yeah. Take the points. Ohio State, this offense is going to be all-time great. I think they're going to put up 55 points. The question here is the defense. Woo. That's what I'm looking forward to. Jim Knowles came down from OK State. There were top 3 defense at OK State, so he's bringing that defense on. They gave up 30-plus points 5 times last season. So if their defense gets better, that's what's going to determine how they do the
rest
of
the season. So 55-14 or 55-31, it's going to be 55 for Ohio State, says Dennis. Courtney Cronin.
Yeah, I'm with David on this one. I know Ohio State's going to put up a ton of points, but there's a level of mystery here with this defense with Jim Knowles because he's a first-time defensive coordinator at Ohio State, and this unit got absolutely manhandled when it played Utah, Oregon, Michigan last year, 31st in points allowed. And Knowles seems pretty confident in this group. He said, I don't have any concerns. The cornerbacks are coming back, but we have yet to see them actually play in a game. So what do they look like? Can they beat expectations for what this group was last year because it didn't play very well last year.
Mm-hmm. But you've got Ohio State. You've got them sizable. You got them big. You got them over the 17 points.
I'll take the points.
Yeah, okay. And Mina Kimes, now to you.
Who cares about the defense when you have an offense that is not just a well-oiled machine but a Death Star? Guys, let's not get cute here. Quarterback C.J. Stroud, leading candidate for the Heisman, led all of college football in QBR last year. Jackson Smith and Jigba, their top wide receiver, led the Power 5 in receiving yards. Travion Henderson, their leading running back, led the Big 10 in yards per carry. I mean, come on. The best case for Notre Dame, aside from low expectations, is the fact that they do have somewhat of an advantage in the trenches on their side of the ball. But there's just too much inexperience behind that offensive line to keep up with Ohio State's
fire. Frank called Ohio State the team with the most to prove this year. Nick Saban's watching this at home, and he's like, all right, I'm going to use that. But is anybody with Frank here, Ohio State, after the way last year played out? Mina, the most to prove this season?
No, I think it's Clemson after that season. Okay. I mean, those fans are much more distraught than a team that are fans of a team that won the Rose Bowl last year.
I saw the last word.
Well, also remember, they did lose to Michigan. But for Notre Dame, we know losing games in September and October don't necessarily kill you. So Notre Dame keeping this close, their season's not going to be over this week, and it might feel like it because I think they are going to get blown out. But for Notre Dame, they have the most to gain. No, obviously, Ohio State has the most to lose.
We move on. The champs, Georgia and Oregon, in Atlanta. Georgia lost 15 players to the NFL draft. It will surprise nobody. They are restacked with blue chips. Oregon coach Dan Lanning to begin his career and year against the team he coached last year as DC to a championship. Maybe that's an advantage for him. David, in Atlanta for the game in Atlanta, how should we see Georgia as defending champs, and how do you think they'll do this week against the 11th ranked Ducks?
Yeah, I mean, the city of Atlanta is like still, you know, super excited about the fact they won a national championship, as they should. But I think the feeling is the same as it was last year and all the years before. There's doubt that this team can beat Alabama once again. And so they're retooling with all these players that they have. But I think, you know, they're still behind Alabama despite what happened. As far as this weekend, I don't think it'll be the 17-point spread. I think it'll be a little bit closer. I think they're winning mostly because of the fact they have Bo Nix's number. He is 0-3 against those guys. One touchdown, two interceptions, 56% completion. They just know what to do with him. I think they're going to win this weekend.
A lot of QBs have struggled against Georgia last season, especially Courtney Cronin in this matchup.
Yeah, I feel like the defense for Georgia, like, boo-hoo. There's all this turnover, yet this is a plug-and-play situation. Robert Beal is back for the Georgia Bulldogs, one of their best defensive linemen that they had last year. 6.5 sacks, 5 of those came in the final 6 games of the season. So they're in a situation where the offense has to put up a lot of points at first just so this unit can kind of figure out its identity. But, hey, this is what Alabama deals with literally every single year, coming off of a national championship. The expectations are high for them to do it again. Now Georgia gets to be in that territory.
Mina Kimes?
You know, I think it's reasonable to have a little bit of concern about this defense, given that they're only returning 18% of their production last year, which is the lowest number in college football. I mean, there are 14 players drafted. That's what happens. But I'll tell you this, Tony. While watching those 14 players ahead of the draft, I was constantly distracted by Jalen Carter, Georgia defensive tackle, who might have been the best player on that defense and returns this season. They've also got experience with Stetson Bennett coming back. I love this trio of tight ends. I think it's a very unique grouping that's going to create mismatches. So I'm not betting against Georgia, especially against Oregon team with Bo Nix.
Okay. I think you didn't miss one Georgia draftee. I would never step to you with the NFL draft and players, but I'm pretty sure it was 15. Frank Isola, now to you.
Yeah, it's that old motto, we don't rebuild, we reload, and that's exactly what Georgia is doing. But Courtney's right. Like, if you're Nick Saban, you're thinking to yourself, guess what, Georgia? Now you know what it's like to be Alabama. It's the first time you're coming off a national championship in 41 years. Everyone's going to be gunning for you. I think they catch a break. You're making Oregon travel all the way across country with a new coach, a prohibitive underdog. Georgia will get up to a good start, but navigating your way through the varsity, which is what the SEC is, will not be easy, especially for
okay, number 11 team in the country, but that's the JV's a part of their schedule. So everybody's going to blow out here as well. Our two games, two top 15 matchups, two blowouts, according to this panel here. All right, way too early playoff picks. I asked you in the tease, and I wasn't sure if I was ready for this. Teams not named Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia. I heard NC State from you, Court. That's fun. Start there.
Yeah, they returned 17 starters from a year ago, so the team that was 9-3, a couple plays away from making the ACC title game. I think they're going to be this year's Cincinnati for a number of reasons. And I mean, Thayer Thomas, the receiver that they have along with Devin Carter, and their quarterback reminds me a lot of Kenny Pickett. I think that he could be making that jump this year to be in that level. We're not talking about them that much yet, but the 4 touchdowns that he threw against Clemson in that upset last year kind of introduced me to this NC State team, and I think that they will be in prime position to sneak up on us.
So you like that conference again, you know, or being focused on a conference like the ACC, where team can bubble up. Mina Kimes, you said Utah.
I mentioned the Rose Bowl.
Yeah,
I mentioned the Rose Bowl earlier with Ohio State. I'm going to go with the team that went toe-to-toe with them in that game, and that's Utah. I love this coaching staff, helmed by Kyle Whittingham. I also love this quarterback, Cam Rising, who certainly lived up to his last name last year, going 9-2. He's got that dual-threat ability. I think he's a smart decision-maker, and I think they're going to win the Pac-12. And if they win, by the way, this weekend could go undefeated.
All right. Well, set the bar pretty high right there. So that's two selections for a fourth playoff team, kind of outside the box. Frank Isola, how about you?
Mina forgot about the one team right in her backyard. She's right about the conference with the Pac-12 and Oregon would have a chance, certainly Utah. But how about USC? You want to talk about a team that knows how to, you know, build and bring talent in. That's a very underrated, dangerous team. They could be, as Courtney says, this year's Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. And David Dennis Jr.?
Everybody else sort of outside the box. I'm going to nestle myself right comfortably inside the box and go with Clemson, which is sort of the paper pick. I like them. Their defense is just as stout as it was last year. I think playing Notre Dame, playing South Carolina is going to help with their strength of schedule. And Dabo might make a midseason quarterback change, which last time he did that, it kind of worked out well for them. So I'm going Clemson.
All right. You're predicting a midseason quarterback change, though, for a team you're going for the playoff. All right. That's our college football way too early preview here. Mina Kimes in the lead, 17. Courtney Cronin, 14. Dennis Jr., Isola. Buy or sell next.
At least it's not a negative.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Cleveland Cavaliers right now after the Donovan Mitchell trade yesterday. Three All-Stars under the age of 26. And Evan Mobley, who a lot of people thought was Rookie of the Year last year. Wow. Frank Isola, what are you buying? What are you selling? Who won this trade? Who lost this trade?
Yeah, we're not going to know about Utah for a couple of years, but Danny Ainge is great at drafting, so I think it's going to work out for them. I love it for Cleveland. Even though you're undersized in the backcourt, you're pretty dynamic with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. And like you mentioned, you got those two big guys that block shots. As for the Knicks, for everything that I've told, made a more than fair and competitive offer. I think it was pretty close. And Danny Ainge, who still bleeds Celtic green, probably said, I ain't trading this guy to the Knicks.
I'm not. Oh, yeah? You think it was vindictive like that, that Danny Ainge wouldn't trade with the Knicks and not the Knicks dropping the ball here, which wouldn't be...
No, the Knicks offered everything. Mm-hmm. I think that from everything that I heard, they offered whatever...
You think they're the loser of this trade?
For the most part, they wanted. Yeah, because they wanted to get him, and they made a good offer.
David Dennis Jr., how about you?
I totally disagree. I think the Knicks actually kind of won this trade. Danny Ainge not accepting this trade saved the Knicks from themselves, giving up Toppin and Barrett and three unrestricted draft picks. For Donovan Mitchell, that was mortgaging their future for a guy who their team is constructed. If they add Mitchell, he was going to get them in the play-in tournament at best. Mm-hmm. Like, this was not a championship move for the Knicks. They were going to give away too much, and they dodged a bullet.
What do you think Mitchell does for a team that is playoff bound like Cleveland, David?
I mean, I think it raises their ceiling down the line. They need to re-sign Mitchell because this is a championship team 4 or 5 years from now, and they need to get him re-signed after the year.
Oh, he has three more years on contract. Courtney Cronin, bring you in here.
Yeah, I'm buying that Cleveland has the second best backcourt in the East behind Atlanta, and that's probably not enough to beat Milwaukee or Boston in a seven-game series, maybe not even Miami or Brooklyn, but they didn't make this move for right now. Darius Garland is 23 years old. Donovan Mitchell's going to turn 26 this month, and he still has 3 years remaining on this contract with a player option in there, too. Jared Allen's like 23 years old. Evan Mobley is 21. This group is, I think the floor for this group right now is the play-in tournament. They're not one of the best teams in the East just yet, but they're going to have time to let this core grow and get there.
They were there last year
in the play-in. Many are saying this moves them forward. Mina Kimes, how do you see this trade for Cleveland?
I see this as a rare win-win-win. The Jazz and Danny Ainge get their hoard of draft picks and some fun young players. The Cavs get a player in Donovan Mitchell who actually fits in perfectly with that team because they have the defense to compensate for his shortcomings. Right. And the Knicks, to me, avoid overpaying for a player that really only would have made them middling given what they would have gone up. The only loser I see is all of us because I don't know anyone who saw this coming.
Buy or sell two, U.S. Open last night. Rafa Nadal advancing after losing the first set to Fognini and bloodying his nose with his racket. But advance he does, Courtney. Did last night make you believe in Nadal more or less in this tournament?
I mean, I'm always going to believe in him, but I'm really concerned about his health because you remember that abdominal tear that he sustained at Wimbledon, that's an injury that's going to take him 6 months to recover from. Yeah. Yesterday, after the match, he said he made it sound like he had a concussion after hitting himself in the face with his racket and then going down. 27 unforced errors in his first two sets. That's not play that you typically expect from Rafa Nadal, but he was able to overcome it. I'm just worried about how this is going to affect him going forward at the U.S. Open. Because last time he had an injury, we saw him withdraw from Wimbledon.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, I think Nadal is going to win his next match, 17-0 against Gasquet, who's not won a set against Nadal since 2008. So pencil him in for that. But I agree with Courtney. I think that abdominal injury is impacting him, especially at the beginning of these matches. I don't know if he needs to loosen up or something, but he's looking bad in these opening sets. And that he can't have slow starts once the competition gets
Frank,
better.
Frank, your takeaway from Nadal?
Yeah, we talk so much about Nadal being a physical player and taking a pounding. Here's a case of him giving himself a pounding by hitting himself in the face with the racket. I just think for him, I'm always going to believe in him because he's a fighter up until the end. I just think it's a little bit too much for him, especially coming off of that significant injury he had in Wimbledon. I think he can get to the semifinal. I just don't believe he can win five more matches.
Times.
You know, this was a really strange match because it was like he flipped a switch halfway through. And that's why I believe in him because I don't think his struggles were physical. I think they were technical. And once he made the necessary adjustments, he looked like Nadal of old.
And now tonight, Serena Williams, the spotlight, impossibly bright. Yesterday, I had a panel say there should be no expectation, just enjoy the ride, which is amazing life advice, but does it really capture the essence of what we know about Serena? It's a third-round match. Ayla Tomjanovic, Mina, what do you buy? What do you sell tonight?
I'm buying that this is no longer about Serena, you know, having a good time and playing with house money. This is about her winning. She can win this thing, in part because Tomjanovic, you mentioned, is ranked 46. Her path to get back, to get to the final, is realistic. And if you don't love watching this, you don't have a heart.
Right, but I'm happy to hear you say that because yesterday's panel was impossibly respectful, I would say, in a good way, but of just don't look ahead. Do not look ahead. Well, you can look. Frank Isola, you're enjoying this.
Oh, absolutely. Serena's looking ahead. And I think what should never be discounted, and you've heard this after the first two matches, what the crowd in Arthur Ashe Stadium is like for the opposing player. That crowd, they won't even let the player serve. And it really, you really get unsettled. Only Maximus going into the Roman Coliseum in Gladiator is a tougher road win than it's going to be for the opponent for Serena. It is not, because everybody's doing this to you. Yeah. They want you to go down in a bad way.
I mean, I did see Serena try to quiet down the crowd, but you're right about that.
Exactly.
David Dennis Jr.
Yeah, I want to talk about yesterday's panel. It was so much doom and gloom, a bunch of Debbie Downers acting like Serena got carted off the court or something. Like, can we have fun and celebrate what she's doing and the way that she is winning? She had 47 winners against Kontaveit. 73% of her points are coming off of her first serve. She's looking dominant and young, and we owe it to Serena and her legacy to believe that she can win instead of acting like she should just
we
be happy.
We owe it to Serena. Okay, Courtney Cronin, how about you?
Yeah, we owe it to Serena so much that we changed the U.S. Open when she's going to be playing tonight from ESPN 2 to ESPN 1. They moved college football off there, so all of the eyeballs are going to be on Serena on Friday night. And I feel like after she left after her second set on Wednesday, she took a bathroom break, she comes back out looking like a 30-year-old playing tennis versus someone who's 40. She was absolutely dominant. Her movement skills make it so tough for her to defend, and I'm looking forward to seeing that again on Friday night.
You have her winning, it sounds like, Courtney Cronin.
I
David
do.
Dennis Jr., you're celebrating the win. Mina Kimes, Frank Isola. Everybody's got Serena winning tonight. Roll back the Oprah tribute. Let's do it again.
Get Gail King out there. Let's go.
It is amazing what happens after the matches. Mina Kimes, Frank Isola. That's our showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
West Virginia had an 85.8% win probability when they punted on 4th-and-1 with 6 minutes left. Pitt said thank you for the ball, came back, Pitt won the game. That decision to punt versus this decision by the South Carolina State punter to not punt, but freelance, fake on 4th-and-19, getting actually close to making it, but then freelance again and punt way past the line of scrimmage, which of course is a penalty. Mina, least explicable special teams moment.
Well, the attempt at the fake was funnier, but I'm going to go with West Virginia just because they absolutely screwed up an opportunity to pull up the upset, not just because of the time, but also because they were destroying Pittsburgh on the ground. You can't tell me they wouldn't have been able to pick up that first down.
Frank?
Yeah, but they still have a 7-point lead there. So I get it. They're being conservative first game of the season. I feel badly for the South Carolina State punter because he's running. His instincts are telling him, keep going. Something clicked. Oh, wait, that's right. They want me to punt the ball. All of a sudden, he stopped and punted it. That's something we do in the schoolyard that you get away
with. They want me to punt the ball. I think by naming him punter, that was a hint of what they wanted him to do. Hey, freelancing, sometimes you lose track of where you are in the field. Totally inexplicable for that punt there. And the backyard brawl gave away.
That's inspiring.
Tough loss for West Virginia. We'll move on.
Fences.
Purdue, Penn State last night was wild. Penn State won. If you find yourself queasy, look away because something queasy is about to happen here. The Purdue pick six turned into a puke six. Chris Jefferson went 72 yards, lost his lunch. He said the second it happened, he knew he was going to be a meme. Frank, if you know it's going to make you puke after, do you still want the pick six?
Come on, Tony. We still write poems about Michael Jordan being sick and having a great game. Pete Sampras did this at the U.S. Open. We bow down. There's nothing wrong with that. He got the job done. I like
Gina.
It.
Yeah, I mean, Sean Clifford threw up a terrible pass. Chris Jefferson threw up, well, whatever he ate that day. You got to give him credit not only for making an incredible play, but doing it in the fourth quarter. He was gassed. That's why he puked.
Yep.
Mina Kimes, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, that's going to make me throw up.
Oh, some distressing news. The Baltimore Ravens announced today that their mascot, Poe, is out for the season. After tearing his ACL at halftime, he will appear nevermore. They are, however, holding additions to see who will be the next man up in the pecking order, the new mascot. But I just wanted to give a shout out to Poe, even when he was being carted off the field. He kept a smile on his, albeit painted, mask. No feather in the cap for a pro's Poe.
Look at that. Oh, the puns left and right.
Unbelievable. David Dennis Jr., last word.
Yeah, my hometown, Jackson, Mississippi, 180,000 people without clean water, some without running water. Please donate to get some bottled water to that city.